when you start learning Parshas Miketz, you get the impression as if Yosef was freed from prison, b'mikre, that after 2 years of his sitting in prison, happened that Parah had a dream, and he didn't appreciate the interpretations that were given to his dream by his scholars. And then finally the Sar Mashkim remembers that there was this Jewish fellow in the prison who knows and interpret dreams. So then the whole thing turns out like that. That's how he gets free from the prison. The Medrash comments on the Pasuk, Medrash comments on the concluding Pasuk in Parshas Vayeshev, that because Yosef didn't have the right level of bitochen, that he asked the Sar Mashkim, Kim Zachartani, so Yosef deserved to be punished, and the punishment was he should sit in prison for 2 years. When the 2 years were up, that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam and HaShamayim had a cause, the Parah should have a dream. It's not that the dream was the cause and the effect was that the freeing of Yosef, the cause was that it was time for Yosef was going to be punished to sit in prison for 2 years. And the 2 years were up, so then when HaShamayim, that was the cause, and the effect was that that Parah had to have a dream in order that Yosef should go free. A lot of times we look at life, we look at history, we look at what's going on in the world, we always think that what happened first is the cause and what happened second is the effect. And a lot of times just the reverse. Men HaShamayim, they're leading towards a certain goal. In order to bring about that goal, they caused something to happen earlier. The dream was in order to free Yosef after 2 years of imprisonment. It wasn't that it was freed in Mikra. This is a lot of times, this is the Beis HaLevi points this out in its commentary on Chumash. This a lot of times tells it, Talmud Chacham pointed out that this a lot of times is representative of Riska Torah. That a lot of times they'll take what seems to be the cause and make it into the effect, then they'll take the effect and make that into the cause. That the Torah, everything is backwards. Backwards from the Seichel HaYoshev, from the way people usually understand. Question is, what was the sin that Yosef did over here? What did he do that's wrong? We all have a Chavis Hishtadlos. So when he understood from the dream of the Sar HaMashkim that he's going to go free, so he asks him, Kim Zachartani, what's so bad about that? Isn't that the proper thing to do? So this is another problem. What was the Avera that Yosef did? So the Beis HaLevi has a comment on this as well. Beis HaLevi comments that the Medrash quotes the Pasuk, Rashi, the closing Rashi in Parshas Vayeshev quotes this Medrash, quotes the pasuk in Tehillim chapter 9, Ashrei Hagev Shasam Hashem Iftachoi, Zeh Yosef, that Yosef was on a very high level of bitochen. Then it says V'lofan al rehavim, V'lofan al rehavim Misate Chazav. That's how the pasuk ends. So this is also Yosef that he did wrong. So the Medrash seems to say that Yosef was on a high level of bitochen. Ashrei Hagev Shasam Hashem Iftachoi Zeh Yosef. On this occasion, he made a mistake. So the Beis HaLevi develops a whole theme, to what extent is one obligated to be involved in hishtadlos. So this depends on what level of bitochen the person is on. So the more a person is close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more bitochen he has, so the less his chiv hishtadlos is. And the further away one is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the less bitochen he has, so the more he has a chiv hishtadlos. So on Yosef's level, he shouldn't have asked the Sar HaMashkim. Another person asking the Sar HaMashkim would be doing absolutely the right thing. That would be considered his fulfillment of his chavis hishtadlos. Yosafta deganecha v'sirosh chavitzarech. What do you mean? A guy's going to sit in base medicine, he's going to learn, he's going to daven, he thinks the girl of his, the girl he's going to marry is going to fly down from heaven and the parnasa is going to come from heaven. He's just going to keep on learning and davening. Everything is going to happen by itself. Doesn't have to call a girl to make a date. Doesn't have to go out to take the girl out to see whether he wants to marry her. Doesn't have to lift a finger to do parnasa. Maybe if he's talking on such a high level, if he's so close to the Bashlam, such a high level, I'll be talking. Maybe the girl will fly down from heaven. Maybe the parnasa will come. But we don't know such people. So here the Medrash comments. That's how the Beis HaLevi interprets. Ashrei Hagev Shasam Hashem Eftach Zeh Yosef. Yosef was on a high level of bitochen, and for him it was improper that he should ask the Sar HaMashkim. That's how the Beis HaLevi interprets. The Chazon Ish has a whole kuntres emunah bitochen, which he never completed the writing of, and that's why it was only printed after he passed away. The family had a whole pilpul whether they should print it or not, because it's an incomplete work. So they decided yes to print it. Even though it's incomplete, it's still valuable for the fact that it's partially written, a very fancy style Hebrew. the country of Samun and Bitochen of the Chazan, he had his own style of Hebrew. So he has a different suggestion over here. He says that there is a Chavis Hishtadlus, but the Chavis Hishtadlus means within reason to do stupid things that are absolutely meaningless. This is only to do activities that are futile. This only a person who's in a state of desperation will do. So the pasuk concludes, Ashrei hagav she'sam Hashem miftacha v'lafana el rehovim v'sotei chazav. He doesn't turn to people who are liars, are dishonest, and don't keep their word, and so on. What is he relying on? The Mitzrayim? The Mitzrayim? Rashi writes, v'labotach al Mitzrayim hakuim rahav. If a person is going to ask a Mitzri to do a favor for him as a sign of Hakaras HaTayiv, that the Saramashkim felt indebted to Yosef, and he's going to ask him to do a Tayiv out of Hakaras HaTayiv, this is an indication that he was in such a state of desperation that he was trying to do a Shtadlus which was of no value whatsoever. Not that on his high level of the way the Rav Chazon Ish learns, is not that in his high level of Bitochen he shouldn't have done this hishtadlus. No one should do such a hishtadlus. That's utterly ridiculous. But it is a topic that has to be discussed. You have to understand what exactly. The question is a strong question. What was wrong with the fact that Yosef asked the Saramashkin to help him get out of the prison? So Parshas Miketz begins with the dream that Parah has a dream. The seven skinny cows are swallowing up the seven fat cows. They used to ask children, and younger children in elementary school, that the archaeologists were digging by the Nile River, and they found the bones from 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago. They found the bones of seven cows. Which cows do you think they were, the fat cows or the skinny cows? So they wanted to see if the children remembered the story that the skinny cows ate up the fat cows. So the children said, oh, it was the bones of the skinny cows. So the correct answer was that it's neither, because it was a dream. The whole thing was a dream. It never happened. You're not supposed to find bones if you have a dream. So there's some things in Tanakh that we know never happened. The dream, it never happened. It was a dream. It didn't happen. There are other things in Tanakh we know for sure it did happen. There was a person by the name of Avraham Avinu. There was a human being by the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. And there was a person, Paro, and Paro Melech Mitzrayim. These things we know for sure. Other things we're not exactly sure what happened. Bilam was a person who really existed. Did he really have an Oson that spoke to him? So that's what we usually assume. The Rambam writes in the Morin Nebuchim that the whole thing was a Chalom. Did Yankov Avinu really have a fight with the Malach, and Malach broke his leg? So that's the way we usually learn Poshab Shat in the Pasuk. So the Ramban HaChumash quotes again from the Rambam in the Morin Nebuchim that this was all a dream. This was a Mara HaNevuah. It didn't really happen. That's the Ramban's kasha. If it's a Mara HaNevuah, so how come he was limping? If you have a dream that somebody beat you up, so why are you limping in the morning when you wake up from the dream? So it's psychosomatic. Okay, so that's what the Ritva has, a whole sefer where he comes to Farem for all the kashas of the Ramban against the Mara Nevuchim, Sefer HaChumash. So that's what he suggests. So there's some things in the Chumash we know for sure that they really happened. Other things we know for sure they never happened. And other things we're not exactly sure. To look through the Gemaras to try to see what the Gemara has a tradition. This thing really happened, that this thing was a chazon and a chalom. In the days of the Rambam wrote the Morin Nebuchim, so there were so many other Jewish scholars who were into Greek philosophy, so they were taking Avram, Yitzchak, and Yankov as Misholim. They said that these were not real people who existed. Avram is just a concept that represents Chesed, and Yitzchak is a concept that represents Gvura. They weren't real people. So that the Rambam attacks them, that we know that these are real people. We daven in the Shema Neser. We know that these were real people. That we have a historical tradition that these people were real. Moshe Rabbeinu was a real person, and Paro Melech Mitzrayim, and Sheba Mitzrayim, these were real things. And other things we're not exactly 100% sure. We have to look through the Gemara to see what the historical tradition was regarding all the stories in Tanakh. What was the story? Paro had two different dreams. So the Midrashim comment, "Ein poser oisim lifaro." He had posterim. He had chartumim Mitzrayim is kol chachameha, and he tells them all the dreams. "Ein poser oisim lifaro." He didn't care for their interpretation. They were interpreting that these are two different dreams. So that was one breakthrough that Yosef tells him Chalom Para Echad Hu. It's one dream. We don't always say this is always Tzvei Halachas, just because it looks like two different dreams. That's how the other Chatumim Mitzrayim Chachameh, they said it's two different dreams. So that's how the Malbim points out. The first thing that Yosef says is that it's the exact same dream. A lot of times when we study Gemara, you have the exact same Lashon in the Masoras HaShas. He'll give you the cross reference to where the exact same Lashon appears. A lot of times it has the exact same Lashon and it doesn't mean the same thing at all. And a lot of times you won't have the exact same Lashon at all. They're totally different din, but it's the same idea behind both of the dinim. The Baal Hamor has a lot of Hasogas. Rabbi Nizrachi Alev has a lot of Hasogas on the Rif. So at the end, the Rif ends in Maseches Chulin. So at the end of all of the Sefer Hamor, the Mor is originally called the Sefer Hamor HaKotan, the moon, because he lived in Lunel. So he says that he's going to name the Sefer after the name of the city. Lunel is the moon. But then he writes from the Zikin to the end, he says he can't succeed in learning the Zikin with the light of the moon. You have to have the light of the sun. So starting from Bava Kamma till the end, the Sefer Hamor is called the Mor HaGadol. Until then it's called the Mor HaKotan, then it's called the Mor HaGadol. That's what he writes. Because the Mishnah says in the end of Bava Basra that HaRotzo Sheyachkim Yasek B'dini Mamas. One who really wants to develop his mind has to learn the Zikin. Ein L'cha Mitzar B'Tar HaGadol Kazev. It's the most complicated areas in the Zikin. So that's why he switches the title, he calls it the Mor HaGadol. So at the end of the whole Sefer Hamor, after all the comments are up, he has Hasogas, he wrote Hasogas on the Rif in Psak Halacha. So at the end of everything, he has what he calls the Sefer Hatzova. He has a shtick, just like you have Yud Gimel Midrash, Atar Nidreshes, Pem, how to read in between the lines in the Torah Shebichsav to derive Chidushi Halacha. There are many more than Yud Gimel Midrash, but that's what it says in the Reiser, Rebbe Shmuel Loimer, but Yud Gimel Midrash, Atar Nidreshes, Pem. So he writes as a shtick, the Yud Gimel Midrash in reading Gemara in Torah Shebal Peh. The more the Yud Gimel Midrash. So that's a shtick, a style of writing, a poetic style of writing. So we have Hasogas of the, we have Mochamas on that too. The Sefer Hatzava was not printed at the end of the Sefer Hamor, at the end of Chulin. It's printed in the Tmim Deim. And then in the Tmim Deim, they print the Baal Hamor, then they print the Mochamas to defend the Rif. So the one of the things that the Baal Hamor points out, it's an obvious thing for those who study Gemara, that a lot of times you have the exact same Lashon and the Gemara means totally different things. And it gives you a Moshul from the end of Bava Metzia. So Samaris Ebedevi Gufakana, in one Gemara says Ebedevi is not Gufakana. It's the exact same Lashon, but it means two different things in the two Gemara. So it's not that it's a Machloikis. Some Rishonim apparently took it that it's a Machloikis HaSugis. It's still between one sugi and the other, whether Ebedevi Gufakana or not. So he says, no, each Gemara has to be interpreted based on the context. It means a different thing in each place. And a lot of times you have totally different dinim, don't have the same Lashon at all, but they're based on the same theme. I remember we were speaking about it recently. I remember we were talking about when we started learning Sanhedrin and Rav Soloveitchik Shir. So in the first daf in Sanhedrin, the Gemara draws a contrast between Zelus v'chavolas as opposed to Hados v'halvos. In Zelus v'chavolas, the word Elohim, Loshon Chol, appears three times in Parshas Mishpat, Minikah Bablai Se'el Elohim, She'ashin Elohim, Shalom Shnaim L'Reyehu. So Elohim means a Dayan who has smicha. Because it appears three times, so the Tanoim established from that a Bezn for Gzevus v'chavolas requires three smuchim. What about Hoidos v'halvos? So that's a machlokes on the first daf in Sanhedrin, where you say, Ir Parshias Kosev Kan, not only by Gzevus v'chavolas, even by Hoidos v'halvos, and Kesev Talbe Esami, is the next Parsha in Mishpatim. So in fact, according to some, that's a different Parsha HaShavua. Mishpatim is 1 week, and then Kesev Talbe Esami is another week. You look in the Sefer Achinuch, he has Payas Mishpatim is one sedra. We have Matas Nasi sometimes two, sometimes one. We have Chukas Balak sometimes two, sometimes one. Itzav Mayelach sometimes two, sometimes one. We never have Mishpatim as two. Mishpatim is one parsha. So the Sefer Achinach has it as two different parshas. One parsha is Mishpatim. One parsha in Kesed Talva Sam. Yeah, it is two different parshas. They read it on 2 different weeks. Payas, it's always Mechubar. Well, we never have it as separate. So the Gemara has this machlekes hatanoim and a machlekes hamaraim la'alocha, where the ear of parsha is kosev kan, the requirement for three smuchim that appears in the parsha of Gzevus v'chavolas, does it carry over to the other parsha in kesev tal v'esami or not? So what exactly is the difference in definition between Gzevus v'chavolas and Hodos v'alvos? So the Gemara doesn't explain it. I remember when we were learning, so Rav Soloveitchik gave a definition. According to his definition, it's really identical with Milva Haksuva Bator as opposed to Milva Shenik Suva Bator. In other sugyas, in other mesichtas, the Gemara talks about Milva Haksuva Bator, whether Kiksuva Bishtar Dam, Yalak Kiksuva Bishtar Dam. Milva Haksuva Bator means a chiyuv mamon that the Torah imposes upon the person. I have to pay Pinyan Aben, whether I like it or not. I have to pay Otama Mazik, Niske Behemto, I have to pay. Whether I like Aganav has to pay Karen, Kefal, Dalav, hey, a chiyuv mamon that the Torah imposes. Milva Sheinik Suva Bator doesn't mean that it doesn't say in the Chumash. Tosis writes in Ksubas, and name Rabbein Hanan. Milva Sheinik Suva Bator does say in the Chumash. But I would have known, even if it wouldn't have been written in the Chumash, I would have known on my own that Yechayev, because it's a Hischayevis Midas. Milva Ksuva Bator means it's not a Hischayevis Midas, Chiv that the Torah imposes upon you. As opposed to Milva Haksuva Bator, Milva Sheinik Suva Bator, that's a Hischayevis Midas. There are many differences, halacha lemaisa, between them. Milva Ksuva Bator as opposed to Milva Sheinik Ksuva Bator. So remember, that's how Rav Soloveitchik thought, that even though the Gemara in the first daf in Sanhedrin doesn't use that terminology, the Gemara refers to it as Zerlus HaChavolus as opposed to Hedos Mahalvois, so Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's what it means. I remember at that time we used to have Bechinas by Rav Mendel Zaks, who's the son-in-law of Chafetz Chaim. He's the one who gave smicha to Dr. Belkin. So Dr. Belkin, when he came to America after the war, said Dr. Belkin invited him to come to the Shiva, and he was the boychin here. So when he gave Bechinas, he always used to give a running commentary on what the Rabbeim used to teach in class. So he wasn't happy with that definition. He didn't think that it was correct. I don't know exactly why, but he thought that they were not identical. Well, you have a lot of times like that. Remember also the first, when we started Masechah Sanhedrin, so the Mishnah has a din in Masechah Sanhedrin. Din in Ma'amin, Dalim Bayam, Begamim Balaila. You can begin the din. You have to begin the din Torah in the daytime. Once you began in the daytime, you can continue the din Torah even by Lailo. So Rav Soloveitchik interpreted that as follows. He said there's a Mishnah in the Gemara in the end of Perek HaZohov where the Mishnah says Chomish Putasim. There are five dinim that depend on a Shevet Pruta: Pinyan Hegdish, Pinyan Ma'aseh Sheni, Kaddish Zayin Anisha, Bikani Karka Pruta, Shavua Ein Neshbayim Alpachas Meshevet Pruta. All the different dinim. So the Mishnah and the Gemara there have a din. A din Torah. In order to initiate a din Torah, you have to have a minimum amount. You have to be fighting about a minimum amount of a Shavuot Pruta. Ein Nizkakim, Ein Bezdin Nizkakim Al Pachas M'Shavuot Pruta. But once there is a din Torah on a Shavuot Pruta, then the Balei Dinim can bring up an issue even on a Pachas M'Shavuot Pruta, and the Bezdin will pass him. Look, if I owe you money, if I owe you less than a Shavuot Pruta, so I got to pay that too. Let's say I borrowed less than a Shavuot Pruta. I bought a candy. The candy sell 10 for a penny. I bought one candy, so I am a chuyif to pay. That's his chayvis midas. That's one of the differences between milva ksuv batar as opposed to milva shenik ksuv batar. His chayvis midas, you can have even on a less than a shavuot pruta. Chiyuv mamon that the Torah imposes, the Torah never imposes on less than a shavuot pruta. Let's say the Torah did impose the chiyuv pinyan aben, and I paid up all the money except for the last half a pruta. I paid all the money pinyan aben except for the last pachas m'shavuot pruta. So there's a funny rashash who says that you don't have to pay the last. As long as you're within Pachas M'Shavuot Pruta to the end, you don't have to pay the last. Usually assume that is not so. You got to pay the full five sloim. What do you mean? You owe less than a Shavuot Pruta, you don't have to pay it. So, Ein Bezin is cocking. The Bezin will not be, he can't initiate a Din Torah on less than a Shavuot Pruta. But once there is a Din Torah about some other case, then you can bring up this issue that the guy owes less than a Shavuot Pruta also. So, I remember Rav Soloveitchik said, you see from that Din in Bava Metzia, that there is a special halacha of tchilas kviyas yeshiva bezin. You're not allowed to initiate a kviyas yeshiva's bezin on less than the shavuot pruta. But once you have a bezin that is in session, then they can be done on pachas m'shavuot pruta. They thought the same as a din over here. They done in bayom, the gam and balayla. The kviyas yeshiva, tchilas kviyas yeshiva's bezin has to take place bayom. Once the kviyas bezin was bayom, the bezin retains its status as bezin even balayla. Din in the Fosh is a different din. Don Bayom, the Gomen Bayom. It's a different halacha. So a lot of times you have dinim in the Gemara where you use the exact same lashon and they really mean two different things. And a lot of times you have totally different lashonis in a totally different context and it's really based on the same, there's a similar concept.
I'm sure Rosh Hashanah makes sense of the fact that the person is about to say, someone says less than a Shavuot Pruta, the reason why is because this doesn't care about it. Therefore, it makes sense.
Mean people are moichel. Gemara says less than a Shavuot Pruta is mechila. That's also a question. What does that mean? Less than a Shavuot Pruta is mechila means that the person is actually moichel, or means the halacha declares that it's a din mechila. also not so clear what it means.
But Kohen can't be Mocha.
Pardon me?
Kohen can't be
Mocha. Kohen al-Pipashtis cannot be Mocha the Pidyon Aben money, yeah. There is a funny Tosis in Ksubis, but Tosis says that the Kohen can be Mocha the Pidyon Aben money. So the Mashor crosses out that line in Tosis. Anun Vav on the base. Mashor crosses out that line. How's the Kohen of Balabas to be Mocha the Pidyon Aben money? Yeah. I think the Rashash has it by Pidyon Aben. He writes it by Pidyon Aben. The Pashtis says that it's not so.
It's purely a
chayv,
like the
giant stuff.
You can't be
Michael.
The chayv
mammon. Right.
So you can't be
Michael. No, Pashta says he's not a balabas. It's not his private. It belongs to the whole Shevet Kuna. So just because one coin says I'm Michael, how is he a balabas to be Michael the whole chi of Pidyon Aben?
Can't
he give it back? After he collects the Pidyon Aben, if he wants, he can give it back. But how can you be Meichel in advance to say Mechilu Kihiz Kabalti and Yotze if the Chiv is not specifically 10 Chiv to the whole Shevet Kuhuna? So how is he a Balabas to be Meichel? That's the Marsha's Kasha on that Tosis. So he crosses out the word, and when Tosis says the Kohen can be Meichel, so the Rashash crosses it out. I mean the Marsha crosses it out. It doesn't make sense. Yeah, why was Parah not satisfied with the interpretations that the Chartumim Mitzrayim and the Chachamehu gave to his dreams? They gave Pisrenes, but he didn't like their Pisrenes. So the Pashtus is, the Medrash has a comment on the Pasuk. Paroch Olem. After 2 years of Paroch Olem. So the Medrash says, everybody dreams. Everybody goes to sleep at night, so they all have dreams. So what's unique over here? So apparently Paro understood, number one, when he tells over the dream to Yosef, so he says, the skinny cows, Larisi, Chayin, Abchalerets, Mitzrayim, Laroa. I never saw such terrible, skinny-looking cows. The Gemara says in Brochus, in the last Perek, in Perek HaRoe, the Gemara talks a lot about interpretation of dreams there. So the Gemara says that it's normal for a person to dream at night about things that he was thinking about during the daytime, things that he saw, things that he was thinking about in the daytime. So Paro says, this doesn't correspond to anything that I ever saw. I never saw such skinny cows. It can't correspond to anything that I was thinking about in the daytime. And the fact that they gave me this dream, why did they give me the dream? It must be that it has something to do with the fact that I'm Parah Melech Mitzrayim, and there's something that I can do about it. It's a message to me as the government of Mitzrayim that I should do something based on the dream. It's something national or international. It can't be that it's just family. That's what he felt. So that's the interpretation that Yosef gave, was that it is something international. It's going to affect the whole Middle East at that time. There's going to be a whole 7 years of famine. And then when Yosef has the comment that he should pick Yera Pari Ishnova Machacham Yishiseu Alayas Mitzrayim, you should appoint someone to save the whole country. So the Meforshim Achumish asked. Parah didn't ask him for advice. He just asked him to interpret the dream. So what's he giving him an advice over here? So they say they don't think this was advice. They think somehow this was part of the interpretation of the dream. That the dream was supposed to be, because Parah represents the government of Egypt, this is supposed to be a national, international catastrophe that he could avert by doing something about it. Somehow that was part of the interpretation of the dream. He should see to it that he appoints the right person to avert this tragedy. It wasn't just that Yosef put in a plug for himself. He wanted to get out of prison, so he said, appoint someone very intelligent and bright. So he said, That's how the Meforshim Senchumish. It wasn't his ploy to get free. It was rather part of the interpretation of the dream. Someone showed me an article from a letter to the editor from the New York Times from around 10 years ago, where they write that the non-Jewish people who live in Egypt today, they have some kind of storage silos under the ground. So these are called in Egyptian the silos of Joseph. And they have a tradition, historical tradition, that's where Yosef hid all of the wheat, all of the grain during the 7 years of plenty. The pasuk says that when they took Yosef out of the prison and they had to bring him to Paro, so he had to wash up, he had to get dressed normally before he appeared before Paro. So it says, "Vaygalach," he shaves. "Vaychalev simulosov," he takes off the prison clothing and he puts on a normal suit. So here the Rishonim are bothered with the kasha. Why is Vaygalach? How does he take a haircut? Rashi says, "Mipnei kovan amalchus." What's a bereshis rabbo? But according to the Gemara's tradition, according to the tradition of the Medrash, this took place on Rosh Hashanah. That Rosh Hashanah was the day that Yosef was freed from the prisons. If Kiyam Avraham Avinu kala tarkul ad shalai nitno, if the others fulfilled it, so how did Yosef violate the din? How come he took a shave on Rosh Hashanah? So the Chasam Sofer in the collection of Drosha Sanchumish points out he doesn't think that that's a kasha. He says the fact that the others volunteered to fulfill kala tarkul ad shalai nitno, that was b'torah seinim mitzvah v'yosef, that was a midas chasidus. But this is a real din. This is a real halacha. You have to show kovod amalchus. Jews and non-Jews alike have an obligation to show. That's part of dinim. You have to have a government in the country and a people in the country. You have to show respect for the government. So he says it's not proper to volunteer on midas chasidus when it's in conflict. He's going to prava chumra, not to shave on Rosh Hashanah. If it's in conflict with the real din is that you have to show kovod amalchus. So the Chassam Sofer says, of course he had a shave on, even though it was Rosh Hashanah. He had no brera. He spoke about it, I think, in connection with the Yankif, that the Rishonim, the Ramban Chumash, raises the question, how could it be that Yankif married two sisters? If Kiyam Avraham Avinu kala tarkul ad shalai nitno, so how did Yankif marry two sisters? So the Ramban has his suggestion that the others only volunteered to observe the mitzvahs kodim shenitna hatorah in Eretz Yisrael. Chutz Lord's not. And that's how the Psukim and the Chumash seem to indicate that up until Matan Torah, there was a bechira on the Jewish family, not on Klal Yisrael, just it wasn't a nation, just the family of the Jewish people. And that bechira was always in connection with Eretz Yisrael. Chatzis b'si Yaakov, Chatzis b'si Yitzchok, Chatzis b'si Avraham Askel, the Horetz Esko. It's always mentioned, the Ovis are always mentioned in connection with Eretz Yisrael. And after Matan Torah, when the Jewish nation is formed as a whole nation, not just as a little family, so then it says that it's the mitzvahs are noeg all over the world. That's how the Ramban understood. So the Ramban says, Kolzman, that the Yankov Avinu lived in Chutz Lord, there was no problem. He didn't observe the mitzvahs at Torah. Not like the Medrash that says, Im lovan garte v'tarig mitzvah shamarti. The Ramban is saying not like that Medrash. He didn't observe Taryag Mitzvahs and Chutz Lords, only in Eretz Yisrael. When he came back to Eretz Yisrael, then he was stuck. He was married to two sisters, so that's why I'm in Hashemayim. One of them had to die, that he shouldn't be in violation of the Din HaTor. That's how the Ramban suggests. Maharal Miprag has a different suggestion. He says that it only makes sense to be an Eina Mitzvah V'yosef, to volunteer something, even though you're not Mechuyev. Let's say women volunteer to shake a lulav, to listen to Tekiah Shofar, to fulfill mitzvah saseh shahazman groma. So Maharal Miprag says it only makes sense on a mitzvah saseh. On a mitzvah saseh, said there is no kiyum. On a mitzvah saseh, there's a concept of a kiyum on mitzvah, so even if one is ain a mitzvah v'yoseh, he gets a kiyum on mitzvah. So marrying two sisters, there isn't a mitzvah not to marry two sisters, it's an avera. If you're not mitzvah, so it doesn't make sense. Let's say, I'm not a kohen, I'll be machmer on myself not to attend the funeral. I'm not a nazir, I'll be machmer on myself not to cut my hair. What are you machmer? There is no kiyum mitzvah. There is no kiyum mitzvah. When there's a kiyum mitzvah, so it makes sense to say, ein mitzvah v'yosef. One is not mechuyev, volunteers and he gets a kiyum, but just not to violate an isa. That's how the Maharal Miprag suggests. Others give other terutzim. So Rabbi Yankel Kamenetsky is quoted as having said this as a terutz, that Yankel Avinu proposed to Rachel. He said he's gonna marry her, and then due to his swindling father-in-law, Bimikret, turns out that he married Leah. So now he's gonna say to the girl that he was engaged to for the last 7 years, sorry, I can't marry you, even though I promised you last 7 years. I promise I'm gonna marry. I can't marry because I have a chumrah. I have a midas chasidus that I don't violate the dinim that I'm not mechuyev to violate. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to give out Torah in another few centuries, another couple of sons is going to give a Torah and is going to be prohibited to marry two sisters. So one observer made his chassidus, so therefore I have to break your heart and I can't marry you. What do you mean? But he promised to marry her 7 years earlier. So that's not right. If there's a time and a place for midas chassidus. You're not allowed to observe such a midas chassidus to hurt the other girl's feelings. That's how they say the name of Rabbi Yankel Kamenetsky. So sometimes it has to make sense when you're volunteering something as an Eidim Mitzvah of Yosef. You have to see, is it a conflict with other things, like over here? Like the Chassam Sofer says, Vaigalach. He can volunteer to observe Rosh Hashanah. He'd be in violation of Kovan HaMalchus. So Paro tells over the dream to Yosef. Yosef interprets the whole dream. I saw in the Ponim Yofois, he has a comment. There is a Gemara in the middle of Bava Metzi, in the middle of Perek HaMafkid, that a brocha is not chal on something that you count, something that's, you know exactly how much you have. The Pasuk says over here that they were storing away all of this tvua from the 7 good years, and they were keeping a record exactly how much. Ad ki chadal ispor, ki ein mispor. There was so much that he couldn't keep a record. It was just that I didn't have a computer. So to keep on writing such long numbers, millions, billions, trillions, zillions, such long numbers, how many zeros? So they gave up. So he says, that was L'toibas Mitzrayim, because there was so much. Calls man that it's going to be exactly so much, a bracha cannot be chal. The Gemara says, the bracha is only chal on a dov ha-sama min ayin. There's another Gemara. The Gemara in Tainus says that the Shadim only have Shlita on something that's not counted. On something that's counted and measured and weighed and exactly so much, then the Shadim don't have Shlita on that. So the Tosis is bothered with isn't it a contradiction? The two Gemara seem to contradict each other. Is it better if it is counted or is it better if it's not counted? So the one Gemara says, the Gemara in Bava Metzia says that bracha is only chal on something that's not counted. The Gemara says in Tainus that the Shadim only have shlita on something that's not counted. So it's a shtikl stira, that's Tosis Kasha. So the Sfasemis on Tainus says he doesn't think that it's a stira. He thinks that it's the same thing. If something is counted, so what are you going to expect? A bracha is going to chal, but I know exactly how much it was. It's all of a sudden a miracle is going to happen. It's going to be twice as much, five times as much, but that's going to be a nice nigla. Or if the shadim are going to eat up part of it, it's also going to be keneged ateva. I know exactly how much money I put in the bank. I know how many sacks of potatoes I buried in the ground. All of a sudden, they're going to be twice as many sacks, or half the number of sacks, because the shadim are going to take part of it. So whenever it's dover hamadud, so there's no shlita for the shadim, and there's no room for a bracha either. The Baruch Shalom is not going to make a nice nigla. But whenever it's not known exactly how much you have, so then it can be l'toiva and l'ro. Both directions it can happen. That's what the people in physics always wonder. That they figured out all the rules and regulations of physics. They know how everything works. Maybe the world only functions like that when we're watching. What happens when we're not watching? Do the rules of physics still apply or not? So there's no way to prove, because whenever you watch, it has to follow the rules of physics. So that's the suggestion of the Sfasemis, that the rules of Teva only work when people are watching. Whenever it's a Dover HaModui, Minyan, Misper, exactly, Nimdad, so then the rules of Teva work. Whenever it's not the Nimdad, and it's not Sofur, so then Teva doesn't necessarily have to work. So you can have both a Brocha, and you can have the Shaden consume part of what you have. That's how the Sfasemis on Tainus suggests to answer the Kash. Tosis Kash. So the Pasuk says that Yosef is freed from the prison. Because man is in prison, he can't get married. After he's freed from the prison, so they read him a Shidduch, and he marries Asnas Bas Potiphar Kohen, and he has two children. So it says in the Chumash what the reason for the names are. So it says, Menashe, ki nashan elokim is called Amoliv, is called Beisovi. Shemesheni Ephraim, ki Ephraim elokim eretz on ye. It says the name Ephraim is Hashem, piri verivi, Ephraim elokim. The Chido quotes in one of his Svarim, he quotes that some of the Bali HaTesis give a different explanation for the name Ephraim, even though it says in the Chumash the reason for the name. They claim there were other additional reasons as well. So they say he gave the name Ephraim means twice Afer. Afer Afarim would be a lot of ashes, and Ephraim means double ashes. So what's double ashes? Anom Enoch, he wanted to give a name after Avram Avinu and after Yitzchak. That Avram Avinu was almost burnt in Ur Kasdim, and he says himself, Anochi Afer Ba'Efer. I was almost turned into Afer when I was in Ur Kasdim, and then Yitzchak was almost brought on the Akedah, he almost burnt on the Mizbeach, and Afer Shal Yitzchak Tzavra Munach Agavi HaMizbeach. So these Rishonim say that the name Ephraim was also Anomen Gegeben Noch, his great grandfather, who, a name after Avram and Yitzchak together, double Afer. The Chazal say like that also on the names of the Shvatim, Reuven, Kiroi, Lekim, Bionyi. So the Gemara says it has an additional level of interpretation. Why the name Reuven? Ruma ben b'nei leben chomi. The pasuk gives you the reason for the name Reuven. So the quote from the Vilna Gaon, the structure of the pasuk sounds like there was an additional reason. So apparently I'll be here also. The Rishonim say, because it gives the name Ephraim first, then it says later on, ki Ephraim Elokim. The reason is given afterwards. It doesn't say first the reason, then the name. That's how it says over there by Reuven. It says, Vatikra Shmo Reuven ki Ro Elokim Biyani. Since he gives the name first and then it gives the reason, it sounds like there was an additional reason. That's why Rishonim read over here also, that the name Ephraim, this is one reason, and there was an additional reason. The pasuk says that this famine was all over the whole Middle East. It wasn't only in Eretz Mitzrayim. And according to the tradition of the Gemara and Tainis, Yankov Avinu's family had enough food to last, but they didn't want to get an Ayin Hara from the Nochrim. So he tells the children, Loma Tisro, what does it refer to? Loma Tara, Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Loma Tara Atzmachem Efnei B'nei Yishmol B'nei Yisra Kilo Atem Siveim. It's not right for the Jewish people to show their neighbors, their non-Jewish neighbors, that they're very wealthy and they're not suffering together with them. He says, you better go down to Mitzrayim. We have to act like everybody else. Everybody else ran out of food. We have to make believe as if he ran out of food. The Gemara talks about such a Jewish attitude. The Torah Tamima quotes it over here, that a person sometimes will admit that he owes money to X, Y, and Z because kedei shalola hasbias atzmo. He doesn't want people to think that he's very rich. He doesn't want to have an ayin hara. So such a hados baldin is meaningless. If someone says, hey, you owe me $100, give me the money, and I say in the presence of two witnesses, yes, I owe the money, but I don't have any money today. So you can say, I just said it as a joke, Shalola has biasatzmo. No, you just made a hados baldin. That was serious because you made this comment in response to the tviya of the baldin. But if out of the clear blue sky I say that I owe money to Reuben, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, and witnesses come to court and they testify, so I can just say Shalola has biasatzmo amarti. It's not a hados baldin. That's considered. It's not considered a fault of the Jewish people that they're always crying poverty. It's considered a trait of the Jewish people. Lama tisro. Then we don't want to show off in the presence of the B'nai Yishmael or B'nai Yisov to demonstrate that we have enough. You have to act as if you don't have, like everybody else doesn't have. You shouldn't act wealthier than your neighbors. The pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu sent all the children except for Midyamin, ki amar pen yikur enu ason. Yaakov Avinu was concerned maybe an accident will occur. An accident can happen at home also. What is he only worried about? An accident happening on the highway. There are freak accidents that happen at home also. So what is he only worried about? Pen Yikrein or some Baderech. So that's what the Yerushalmi comments, because Kol Adrochem Mecheska Sakona. Whenever you go on traveling on a highway, Kol Adrochem have a Sakona. And Hasat Mekatrek Bishasa Sakona. Not that Yaakov Avinu was afraid of an accident, a freak accident. No, the Gemara understands Osain means Misubadei Shamayim. That's a Gemara in Ksubis, in the third parak in Ksubis, beginning of Eilon Iris. The Gemara has five lot Gemara, solid about Kamlei B'Derabine. The Gemara keeps on talking a lot of details that come lebi the rabbinet. So there is a machlokes hatanoim. The Mishnah says in Bava Kamma, Hasarif Gedisha Shal Chaver B'Shabbos is potter. If I burn down your barn on Shabbos, since Mischai B'Nafsho, so I'm potter from paying for the Nezikin. But what about Hasarif Gedisha Shal Chaver B'Yom HaKippurim? So the Mishnah says Chayv, because even though Yom Kippur there's a Chiv Kares, Kares doesn't potter from Mammon. The Gemara says, the Tan Rav Nechunim Ben Akana disagrees, how Yoy says Yom HaKippurim K'Shabbos. According to Rav Nechunim Ben Akana, Yom Kippur is the same as Shabbos, just like Nisa patas from Mammon, so Koris also patas from Mammon. So we don't pass like Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, we pass like the Stam Mishnah Bava Kamma. What would you say according to Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana? Hayoy says Yom Kippurim Ki Shabbos, that Koris also makes Kamala with the Rabbinate. What would he say about Nisa B'day Shemaim? Would he say that Nisa B'day Shemaim also makes Kamala with the Rabbinate, or would he distinguish between Koris and Nisa B'day Shemaim? Because according to the Talmud Bavli, Koris is Mochomer than Nisa B'day Shemaim. Koris, the Gemara says, the last daf in white cotton. Koris means a person is supposed to die by the age of 50, unless he has chusim, then he can live on. And Misa B'desh Mayim, person is supposed to die by the age of 60 again, unless he has chusim, so he deserves to live on. The Avni Miluim points out that the Yerushalmi holds fakert, and Misa B'desh Mayim is mochomer than one of the early pages in the Avni Miluim. The Yerushalmi is fakert from the Bavli, but in the Bavli it says like that, the Koris is worse than Misa B'desh Mayim. So that's what the Gemara is misupik about. According to Rav Nechunya ben Akana, Hayoy says Yom Kippurim Kishabbos, that Koris also creates, also causes the din of Kamalei V'Ramanik to take effect. What would you say regarding Nisa B'Day Shemaim? So it's a machlekes habayi v'rovet. It's not like Gerla Halacha, because we're not passing like the whole Rav Nechunya ben Akana in the first place. So this is a machlekes habayi v'rovet. So Abaye, I think, says Nisa B'Day Shemaim is also Kamalei V'Ramanik, according to Rav Nechunya ben Akana. How does he know? Because the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim that formulates the din of Kamalei B'Day Rabbeinu uses the term osan. It says by the parsha of the Mevilah, it says osan ye v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh lo ye osan onish ye onish kav she osha sal balo isha lo ye osan, if the woman is pregnant ki nata anashim yachtov, the two people are fighting and accidentally he bumps into an isha muberes v'yotzu yeladeho, and she loses the baby, she loses the fetus. So the din is you have to pay to the Baal Ha'isha, to the one who would have been the father of that child, that's his mamon. You have to pay for him, you have to pay to him the naval orders. So the Pasuk says you only pay the naval orders im lo ye osan, if the woman didn't get killed, only the Uber got killed. If you kill an Uber, there's no chiyuv nisa. That's the Achrayim asked that question. The Gemara says, "Benoich ne'aragal ha'ubrin." Gemara says in Sanhedrin, if a non-Jew kills an Uber, non-Jew performs an abortion, he's chay misa, misa's bez. So how do they? Why? Based on the pasuk, "Shafech dam ha'adam ba'adam dam yishafech." So the simple reading, "Shafech dam ha'adam kama ba'adam dam yishafech," ba'adam dam yishafech means al pi edim al pi dayanim. That's how the Targum Onkel interprets on that pasuk. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. You read the pasuk differently. Shafech dam ha'adam ba'adam. If you kill a baby who's inside the mother's body, doma yishafech, yichayv misa. So how did the Chazal know that that din only goes on b'nei noyach? There's a Mishnah in Nida that says, tinik ben yomo, if a baby is one day old, he was born already, ha'horga neragolav. If you kill a baby, yichayv misa. If you kill an Uber, you're not chayv misa. How do they know that din? The one who kills an Uber, a Jewish person who kills an Uber, is not chayv misa. The psukim that say in Parshas Noyach, Shafech tam v'adam 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 yishafech, the other psukim do apply to Jews. The pasuk prohibiting suicide. Achaz dimach l'nafsh yisech medrash. That pasuk applies equally to non-Jews and to Jews. So how did the Tanoim know that only a tinik ben yoma, after the baby is born, then a horgan eragolav? Maybe the din of Shafech tam v'adam v'adam and the other pasuk applies to Jews as well. So the answer, the Miri says that the mockers when this pasuk, the Achrenim say like that. The Stechemid quotes that used to correspond. The Stechemid was a Sfardish Rov who was born in Eretz Yisrael, then he took a Rabbonis in Russia. And he was used to Sfardish Menhagim. He knew what it said in Shulchan Aruch. He knew Sfardish Menhagim. He didn't know what was going on there in Russia. So he used to correspond with all the Rabbonim in Eastern Europe to try to figure out what's going on. Are the Balabatim following their Menhagim, it's correct, or the Menhagim are incorrect? So that's how he started his whole Stechemet. He started his whole encyclopedia. He started from his correspondence. And then it developed into a whole encyclopedia, a whole big set of encyclopedia. So he used to correspond a lot with Rav Shlomo Vilna. He lived in the late 1800s. And then Besef Yamav, he moved back to Eretz Yisrael, and when he passed away, he's buried in Hebron, in the Jewish cemetery in Hebron. So he has a discussion of this also. So he quotes Rav Shlomo Vilna, sent him a letter that this is the case. He sees in that parsha Mishpatim that if you kill an upa, you're not chayim misa, because it says im lo yeh asayin onish yonish. If the woman doesn't get killed, only the fetus must kill the atziladeh, then you have to pay bnei vlodis. Im asa yeh, but if the woman gets killed, benasata nevish tachas nevish, then it's come levi derabmini, then you don't pay. But let it become levi derabmini because he killed the uba. So you see, killing an uba, there's no come levi derabmini, there's no chayim misa. That's what you see from the pasuk. So that the Miri writes like that in Masechta Shabbos also.
He didn't have kavanah. He never had kavanah to kill the Yuba or
anything. Yeah, he didn't have kavanah to kill a woman either. Masen Yeh means he killed the Bishogig and still come with the Rabbinating. Masen Lochi Lakta bin Shogig Lemezit. But if you kill the Yuba Bishogig, so there's no come with the Rabbinating. Kill the mother Bishogig, there is come with the Rabbinating. So that leads you to the next step on the assumption, like the Mishnah says, that if you kill an uber, there's no chiyuv nisa. It doesn't mean that it's not called an act of ritzicha at all. It's only an isa of chavola. They say no, it is an isa ritzicha, but it's a lower form of ritzicha. So there's never any chiyuv nisa. So that's why there's no kam levi derabbanei. So that's a further machlokes haposkim, whether killing an uber is a serious isa of ritzicha or it's a much less serious isa of chavola. Should depend. That's the Ran in Chulin, Adaf Nun Ches, talks about that. What's the connection between Uba Yerachimai and the Isser of performing an abortion? So that pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim that formulates a din of Kam Levi Derabminei, it says Ki Natsa Anoshim V'Nokvi Shohar V'Yotzi L'Adeho Onish Yonish Kashi Yoshta Sala Balo Isha Imos and Yim V'Nasata Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. Then there's Kam Levi Derabminei Lo Yosain. If the woman isn't killed, only the baby is killed, then honest, then he pays the mevalotis. So you see from that pasuk, the whole din of kam levi derabbanei, and the word osan appears. So that's what the Gemara says. Abai says, osan, you have exer shove. Here it says osan. Yank Mavina was afraid to let Binyamin travel down to Mitzrayim because pen yikra eno osan. So he says, Abai says, osan means misa b'dei shamayim. So you see that misa b'dei shamayim makes kam levi derabbanei just like misa bezin. With Tiram Lechunyim and Akana Hastis, that he holds that Koris makes Kam Levi Derabminei, so Misa B'dei Shemayim also makes Kam Levi Derabminei. So it's interesting how the Netziv points out in his commentary on the Shiltis, it's interesting how the Tanoim understood what was going on over here. Yankov Avinu was afraid to let Binyamin travel because Pen Yikren Osan, so the Yerushalmi explains, Kol Adroch Mecheska Sakana, Vasot Mekatrek B'shas HaSakana. What do you mean, Asot Mekatrek? He was afraid that maybe Binyamin had done some avera, for which he possibly deserved the punishment of Misa B'dei Shamayim. So the Sotam they get a Mishas HaSakana. So Kol Adrochma B'cheska Sakana. Just parenthetically, Kol Adrochma B'cheska Sakana, that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained, that's the basis of the Tfilos HaDerech. The Gemara says in Brochus on Daf Lamed that when you go on a highway, you have to recite Tfilos HaDerech. So Soloveitchik thought that it only applies if you are slightly nervous, or a lot nervous about the trip. The guy is very calm, he's not nervous at all. He's the only one on the highway, there's no one else there, and he knows how to drive very well, and there's nothing to be nervous about. So then, if he doesn't feel a suffix sakana, has to be at least a little nervousness. If the person is not nervous, that's what the Gemara calls Shameh Psoim Hashem. The Gemara has the certain things that are considered suffix sakana. Suffix sakana doesn't have to be 50-50. Even if the odds are 10 to 1, or 20 to 1, or 30 to 1, that there's nothing to worry about, it's still called the suffix sakana. But sometimes the Gemara says it's not called the suffix sakana. So how do you decide when it's way far away from, nowhere near 50-50? How do you decide? The Gemara says in the end of the first parak in Ksuvus, Lahoch bebikoch nefashes achar haroif. Even though the odds are 30 to 1, that there's no sakana, you have no right to follow the roif. So when do you say that there is a suffix sakana, when not? So that's what all the classical Rav Chaim Moshe has a tshuva. He quotes all the classical Shabbos tshuvas for him, all the classical poskim. They say that's based on the pasuk Shamei Psoim Hashem. If the person is nervous about it, then it's called the suffix sakana. If the person is not nervous, then it's not called the suffix sakana. If it's close to, very close to 50-50, it doesn't help that he's not nervous. That's ridiculous. Of course it's Safik Sakana. But we're talking if it's nowhere near 50-50. It's 1,000 to 1. So then it depends. If regular people are not nervous about that, then the Gemara says Shem Epsayim Hashem. It's not called a Safik Sakana. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought, that Tfilas Aderech is based on this premise of the Yerushalmi. The Kol Adroch Mecheska Sakana. Not a Safik Sakana. 50-50. 50% of the people that travel on the highway get killed in an accident. No. Much less, 1 out of 1,000, 1 out of many 1,000, gets into an accident. But still, it's a Safik Sakana because people are nervous about it. But if people are not nervous, then you apply the rule of Shem Epsayim Hashem. So it's not a Safik Sakana. So you don't offer the tefillah. Tefillah Sader is only tefillah based Tzara. If you have the sense, if you have the feeling, the Hagosha, that there is a Safik Sakana, even though it's way less than 50-50. So this is what Yaakov Avinu, this is how the Gemara understands. Yaakov Avinu was concerned. He doesn't want to let Binyamin travel. He's afraid maybe Binyamin did an aver for which he deserves einish misa b'day shamayim, and a sultan may be mekatrik b'shas ha-sakana. So when they finally convince him, so Yehuda steps up and he tells the father, Yaakov Avinu, anochi e'ervenu miyodi tibakshenu, I will be the orev. What do you mean an orev? The last mishnah in Bava Basra has the dinam of orev, the sugya of orev. Orev is the three different kinds of orev. So an orev means, if someone wants to borrow money from you and you're afraid to trust him with the money, he may never pay back the money. So I say, do me a favor, lend him the money. In the event that he doesn't pay, I will back him up. I will be the cosigner. Orev is a cosigner. So that's an orev stam. An orev stam, so the din is ain't good min orev tchilo. You have to first try to collect from the loive. In the event that the loive can't pay up the money, then you have a right to collect from the orev. And then the loive is mechuyav to reimburse the orev because of the fact that he paid the money for him. He laid out the money for him. Then you have an Orif Kaplan. I agree, I say lend the money to him, and if you want, you can come to me directly. If it's easier for you, come to me directly, and I'll pay you back the $100. You have a brera, either to go collect the $100 from him, or if it's better for you, it's easier for you, so come collect from me directly $100. So that's an Orif Kaplan. Then there's a third Orif, it's called an Orif Shlov Dots. I say, you lend him the $100, but I don't want him to be chayv to pay at all. You're really lending me the money. This should be considered as if you lend me the money. You made out a check to him, and the money's going to go to his pocket. That's the way you're lending me the money. He has no responsibility whatsoever. That's a different kind of art. That's an art of shlov dots. That he's out of the picture. The loiver, the one who's getting the money, is out of the picture. And I'm the only one. I'm really the loiver. You're lending me the money by giving him the $100. It's a loan to me. So the Gemara wants to... the Mishnah in the end of Bava Basra says, Achidish Din, that if the Bava lends $100 to the loive, there's a third party agrees to serve as an orev, so the orev is mishtabik. So the Gemara says, how do you know that such a din exists? So first the Gemara quotes from the pasuk in Chumash that Yehuda uses that verb, Anochi e'ervenu miyori tibakshen, I will be the orev. What does that have to do with orev? Does it mean he's an orev? Doesn't it mean I'm a loive? No. I mean, daddy considered as if I'm borrowing Binyamin, and I personally will be held responsible to return your son Binyamin to you. So it means I'm the loive. It's not that he's an orev. How did the Gemara understand that he's an orev? So the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara says you can't learn from this pasuk because it's not a normal case of orev. You have to learn from the pasuk in Mishlei. In the beginning of Mishlei, Perik Beis, one of the early prokem, it says, Emarafta l'reyecho, Mishlei Shlomo HaMelech recommends, Baruch HaKodesh, you should never be an orev for anybody else. Emarafta l'reyecho, if you agree to serve as an orif, takaita lazar kapecho, you shook hands to obligate yourself on behalf of a stranger. Nekashta bimrei picha, you fell in and you're going to have to pay the money, and it's a stupid thing to do. I have an acquaintance of mine who was a single guy. He was living in Eretz Yisrael apartment, and he was sharing the apartment with another two or three Americans. And they were all having a good time. Each one had a different job. They were looking for shidduchim. They were all dating. He didn't realize that one of the Americans was a crook. So this American borrowed money from the bank, and he said, "Fine, I'll be the orif." So he signed. He's the co-sign in the bank for $100,000. And then the other guy disappeared. He never paid up the money to the bank. So they were going to put this guy in prison. They wanted him to pay the money. They're going to put him in prison because he never paid. So he left, and he still lives in America now. Now he finally got married, and he has a few children. He can't go back to Eretz Yisrael. He wants to live back in Eretz Yisrael, but the minute that he lands in Israel, they'll arrest him. They'll make him pay the $100,000. He didn't realize the other guy was a crook. So that's what the Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei. He recommends don't agree to be an Arev just because he's a friend of yours. It's a stupid thing to do. Don't agree to be an Arev. Unless it's something that Chavis, they want to build a shul. So the whole community has to help, has to participate in the effort. So the Gemara says the pasuk from Yehuda is not a good mocker. Anochi Avena is not a good mocker. You have to learn out from the pasuk in Mishlei, and we're after the recha takaita lazar kapecha, that Arevis is binding. Why is the pasuk from Yehuda not a valid hoichoche that there is an institution of Arev? So the Sheiltes has the Girsa Sagaonim. Sheiltes lived in the days of the Gaon. He himself, I think they say he himself was not a Goyen. The Goyen means that the person, Rav Shreira Goyen, Rav Yehudoi Goyen, Rav Sadi Goyen, and so on, these people were the heads, Rosh Yeshiva's Goyen Yankov, they were the heads of the yeshiva, and it was their responsibility to raise the money for the yeshiva. So the Sheiltes was a big Talmid Chacham. He was a great Goyen, but he wasn't a Goyen. In the sense, he wasn't the Rosh Yeshiva. He wasn't the official fundraiser. The Goyen here in the yeshiva is Mr. Joel, and the Goyen used to be Dr. Lin. Rosh Yeshiva is Goyen Yankov. The term Goyen means the one is mechuyev to raise all the money for the yeshiva, for the institution of yeshiva. You had Rabbanim, but they were the Rabbanim in the yeshiva, but not the Goyen. So the Sheiltes officially was not a Goyen, he was a big Talmid Chacham. So the Sheiltes has the Girsas HaGoyenim there, that the reason why you can't learn out from Yehuda, because Yehuda was not a normal Arevis, it was an Orif Shlov Dots. Whoa! An Orif Shlov Dots. What has it got to do with? He said he's a Loive, no? So that's what the Netziv explains in his commentary on the Sheiltes. The Tanoim understood over here that what Yankov Avinu was afraid of was maybe Binyamin had done some Avera for which he deserves a punishment on Misa B'dei Shamayim. That's what they say. Osan Osan Exer Shavu for Kamal Levi. There are many purposes that is talking about Misa B'dei Shamayim. So he was afraid that to let him go on the highway because Kol Adrach Mecheska Sakona Vasot Mekatrik B'Shas HaSakona. So Yehuda says, if the Sutton comes to take Binyamin's life, I will volunteer that he should take my life instead of Binyamin's life. Very strange. That's an order of Shlov Dots. He's volunteering, only collect the Oynish Misa from me. There is such a thing. He didn't do the Avera. If Binyamin did the Avera, why is there such a thing? I don't know. But that's how the Netziv sees the Pshat in the all the Gemara. He puts all the Gemaras together. So he says, Yehuda was volunteering that the Sutton should only collect the death penalty from him, not to collect it from Binyamin. So that's an Arev Shlov Dots, the third level of Arev. How do you know that the first or the second levels of Arev exist? That was the Gemara's Dechiyah. That was the Girsa Sagainim.
How is Yehuda such a Yehuda? Didn't have a Yehuda Shlov Dots
for himself, yeah. I don't know. Maybe Yehuda will deserve an Onish Misa on his own. Misa B'dei Shemayim on his own. So what good is it? He's going to say, I'll substitute for Binyamin. Man, how does such a thing work? What do you mean? They negotiate deals like that? Very strange, but that's the Netziv claims. That's what if put all the Midrashim together, that's what the Chazal are driving at. It's a big Kiddush. We have a din that a Dovish Bigdusha, you have to have a minion of Asara. In Dovish Bigdusha, Pachas Me Asara. But Moshe Feinstein writes, he thinks that that's only Midir Rabbanon. There is a din there, Isa, Dovish Bigdusha, when they dash the Besoch Bnei Yisrael, that the Horik Bal Yavar sometimes only applies Bifar Hesya. Bifar Hesya, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, and Dafayin Dal, that Bifar Hesya means Bifnei. Asorim Yisrael, you have to have 10 Jewish people present. So that's called the Tikkun Rabbanan came there. I said Tikkun Ramosha claims that for Yehorik Vayavar the din of Asor is there. I said for us Davish of the Minyan, Davish of Bikdusha that you need a minyan. That's only with the Rabbanan. That's what Ramosha claims. He says that there's one opinion that's not even mentioned in Shulchan Aruch that one woman is mitzdarf to a minyan, or one katan. That opinion is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. One katan can be mitzdarf to a minyan. So he says that's only going to get to the din derabbanan. He thinks going to get to the dinim deraisa for sure. Women are not mitzdarf, and one woman wouldn't be mitzdarf, and one cotton wouldn't be mitzdarf. That's the coolest. And the din derabbanan called the tikkun rabbanan came deraisa. Tikkun is not 100% pattern after the din deraisa. The din deraisa for sure you would need all asarik darna b'nei chorim b'nei bris, and women wouldn't be mitzdarf. That's what Ramosha says. So the Mishnah, the first Mishnah on Sanhedrin also talks about that. How do you know that the word Edo has the connotation of 10? Because there's, how do you know that a Sanhedrin that's going to be dandin in the Foshes has to consist of a minimum of 23 Dayonim? So the Gemara, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, the riser from the Psukim, it says, V'shoftu Edo, V'tzilu Edo. doesn't say exactly like that. That's not one pasuk. These are two different pasukim. And the Mishnah puts it together as if it's written like that. Shavtu Eida Ben Amakam Ve'Yigal Adam Yitzilu Eida. It's half a pasuk later. So the Mishnah says you have to have 10 members of the Bezin should be able to say Chayiv Misa. That's for Shavtu Eida. You have to have another 10 members of the Bezin have to be able to say that he's Potter for Misa. Ve'Yitzilu Eida. Yitzilu means Lahakel. Ve'Shavtu means Lahachmer. So you already need 20 members of the Bezin, but that's going to be a stalemate. It's going to be 10 say Chayiv, 10 say Potter. So you have to have Ein Bezin Shokol. You have to add on one more dying. So should we be 21 members of the Bezin? But we have a pasuk that says, "Lasiach Haram Leroy." So in order to administer Einish Misa to go Lechumre, if you have a split vote, it's not sufficient that you have a Roiv of Echad. You have to have a Roiv of Shnayim. So therefore, the minimum number that you have to have for the Sanhedrin has to be 22. But you can't have an even number of a Sanhedrin because may turn out that you have a split vote. So the Mele Ein Bezin Shokol. So you have to have 23. So that's how the Tanoim arrived at this minimum number, that a Sanhedrin for dealing the fashas has to have at least 23 dayanim. So where they get this idea that the word Eidah means 10? So the Gemara learns it out from the Meraglim. It says, Amasa Eidah Hara Hazos, there were 12 Meraglim, so the evil ones, the wicked ones, were the 10 of the 12. Yeshua and Kalev didn't say anything wrong, they didn't do anything wrong. So Amasa Eidah Hara Hazos is Yotzi Yeshua and Kalev, that they didn't say anything wrong, so the word Eida has the connotation of 10. So you have such a similar discussion in Maseches Megillah, that the Mishnah says in Megillah at the end of the second parak, in order to have Baruch Hu Kaddish Kedusha, in order to have a Dovah Shabik Dusha, you have to have a minyan of Asar, Ben Echorim, Ben Ebris, and so on. So the Gemara has two different derivations. So one derivation is also from the word Eida, means that 10 Jews represent all of Klal Yisrael. There's a din of Chil Hashem Barabim, there's a Chil Hashem Barabim, but no one's watching, then there's a Chil Hashem Barabim, if you have people watching. So how many Rabbim do you need? So that's when Igdash the Besoch B'nei Yisrael, V'lo Hashem Kotshi, there's a Chil Hashem Barabim, and there's a Kiddush Hashem Barabim. So the Gemara learns out there from two different drushes. So one drush, it's learned out from the word Eida, that the word Eida, when Igdash the Besoch Hadaz B'nei Yisrael, one of the Pesukim says, Adaz B'nei Yisrael. So you learn that Eida, Eida from the Meraglim. Then another marker that the Yerushalmi has is that we learn out from the 10 brothers of Yosef. It says, V'yer d'racha Yosef asar lish bober b'toch haboim in Mitzrayim. How does it say? B'toch. V'yer b'nei Yisrael lish bober b'soch haboim. And how b'nei Yisrael were there? There were 10, because there were 12 Shvatim. And Yosef was in Egypt, and Binyamin the father didn't send, so he only sent the other 10 brothers. So you see that the 10 who went are referred to as Toch. And there it says, V'nidashe b'soch b'nei Yisrael. So you learn Xerushava Toch Toch, that the word Toch has the connotation of 10. That this is the mocker for the idea of a Dov Shebikdusha needing Asar. It's an interesting idea that 10 Jews represent all of Klal Yisrael. Really, you need for Kiddush Hashem, for Yehorik Vayavar, as well as for Dovah Shebikdusha, the Din de Rabbanon, that you need Asara, you really need B'soch B'nei Yisrael, the whole Klal Yisrael. So the Zerushav is telling me that if you have 10 Jews, a minion, that's considered as if it represents all of Klal Yisrael. That's Rav Moshe's raya, that you see that the Meraglim were apikursim. They didn't believe that Hashem had koyach. Kichazukum yimenu. So Rav Moshe says, you see from the Yalfusa, you learn out from the Meraglim, that an apikurs is also mitzarf to a minion. This is against the Rambam and the Tshuva. The Behetiv, it's a pele, Rav Moshe forgot it, Behetiv. The Behetiv on Hilchas on Simen Nunhei, by saying Baruchu. It says in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch that Tefillah B'tzibah begins when the Chazan gets up at the conclusion of Pesukah Zimra, and he says Kaddish after Yishtabach, then he says Baruch Hu. And a lot of shuls, they have, let's say, two Avelim Davin Farnam, and so they divide it up. So one Avel Davin's Farnam at half, and one Avel Davin's the other half. So the truth of the matter, the one who says up until Yishtabach didn't serve as a Shlech Tzibah. That's nothing but nothing. In Shulchan Aruch, they say if you want to divide it in half, so one should say the whole davening until the Kaddish after Tachnun. And then the other one should take over Ashrei Volatzion. That's a Shliach Tzibah. He's going to say, you say a Kaddish, that's Meyuchad for the Shatz. Just to say the Birchus HaShachar, and to end off Tilas Hashem Yidaber Pi, that's, he's an MC. That's not a shliach tzibur. Shliach tzibur, he has to say kaddish kedusha baruch Hu, something. So the Rambam writes that the tefillah v'tzibur begins when the chazan gets up and he says the kaddish following ishtavach, and he says the baruch Hu. So there, Shulchan Aruch discusses who are the 10 people who are mitztarf to a minyan. So the behetav over there, it's around siman nun hei. So the behetav quotes this tshuvas haramam that an apikaris says dinika akum cannot be mitztarf to a minyan. Not like Rabbi Moshe. Moshe Tainas that you learn it off in the Gzeru Shove from the Meraglim. So even an apikaris is also mitztarf.
Kaddish Yosin doesn't count for
Kaddish Yosem, the Yosem says he's not the Shliach Tzibur. If you want to serve as the Shliach Tzibur, you got to say something with the Shliach Tzibur. Yeah.
Does the need to have 10 make it a Dabar Shavu Kedusha? For instance, benching. If you have 10, so if Zeman changes, does that make it a Dabar Shavu Kedusha?
That's a machlekes in Rishonim. The Gemara in Megillah, at the end of the second paragraph, when it quotes that Mishnah, you need 10 for duchening. Now duchening is not a davar shebekdusha. It's a different reason why you need 10. You need 10 for a kaddish kedusha baruch Hu. Then it says you need 10 to bench mezuman b'shem. So the Gemara doesn't say davar shebekdusha. The Gemara gives a different reason. La barachara. It's not that achara. It's lat kuri shma d'shmaya to mention shem Hashem alakeinu baruch alakeinu bebotza me'asor. So the simple reading of the Gemara sounds like it's not a davar shebekdusha. The Kesa Mishnah on the side of the Rambam claims that it is a davar shebekdusha because the Rambam writes that three women can bench mezuman, three women or more, but whereas by men, if you have 10 or more, they say nevar chalakeinu, by women, they can't say nevar chalakeinu. So the Kes Mishnah claims the reason why is because bench a mezuman basar is a dovish bigdush, and women are not mitztarfen to a dovish bigdush. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say that most of the Rishonim don't agree with that. Some Rishonim say beferish like that Kes Mishnah, but he thought that most don't. He said in Europe, there used to be two minhagim. When you bench Mezuman ba'asor, whether the people stand up, or the Baruch HaLakeinu, whether they stand up. So he said, Adav Shebik Dusha, we follow, the Arizal has a line in Yerushalmi, that there's a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi, that Adav Shebik Dusha, you need Amida. You have to stand for Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu. So that's the Shaila. If Bench and Mezuman ba'asor is Adav Shebik Dusha, so everyone should stand up. If it's not Adav Shebik Dusha, you don't have to stand. So he said, well, he came from Lithuania, no one ever stood for Bench and Mezuman ba'asor. In Germany, they all stand up. They stand up all the way. Mamish, not just like this. They'll stand up like this. Baruch HaKeinu, Shachal Mishlach, Tuvachayinu. Mamish, Amida, they treat it like a real Dovah Shebikdush. So he used to say that that's a machlek is a Rishayin, where the benching basar is a Dovah Shebikdush.
Why do we say that these 10 people represent Klal Yisrael? That's
what Rav Holoveitchik has in one of his published essays. He says that Pashtus in the Pasuk, when in Dash the Bistoch B'nei Yisrael, that Kiddush Hashem should be in the presence of Klal Yisrael. And he said, Dovah Shebikdusha was also learned that. But the Rabban and Rav Moshe says from the same Pasuk, so you should really need Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara learns that, Gzeres Shoveh, Toch Toch, Eda Eda, that if you have 10, the 10 represent all of Klal Yisrael. 10 Jews represent the whole Klal Yisrael. Because the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk is that the Dovah Shebikdusha has to be in the presence of Klal Yisrael.
Maybe there's something similar that Rav Soloveitchik says, the whole thing about Beis Din has all being represented as Klal Yisrael. So like there you need 71 and here you need 10. How does it feel like two different ideas there?
No, that's a different thing. The Beis Nagodol is like a Congress, that they represent Das HaKohol. Whenever you need Das of Klal Yisrael, so you consult the Beis and whatever they say, you don't have to take a poll to find out what everybody says. And even if it turns out that everybody says against the Beis Nagodol, but the Beis Nagodol Apidin represents Das HaKohol, Das Klal Yisrael.
Is there any significance to when people are like quasi standing up off the seat?
Don't know.
Not for Amida.
It's also Amida. Amida means that you're not, that's called Amida? Okay. That's also called Amida. You're not sitting on a chair. There's no smicha. So that's called Amida. I think it is Amida. The Mishnah Brura quotes those Achranim who say that Baruch for sure by Kriyas HaTor needs Amida. Just the Kriyas HaTor you can sit. Rav Soloveitchik used to say not so. He thought that the Mikra Adin, the whole Kriyas HaTor should really be a Dovah Shebikdusha, because the whole Kriyas HaTor, the Torah is a description of Elokus. And nonetheless, we have a pasuk that we learn out from a pasuk that you don't have to stand for Kriyas HaTorah, despite the fact that it is a Dovah Shebikdusha. So he thought that that kula that you can sit for Kriyas HaTorah applies also to the Baruch Hu. The Mishnah Berurah says not so. Rav Soloveitchik stood for Kriyas HaTorah like the Maharam Rutenberg used to stand, but that was a Chumrah. The Ikar HaDin, the Maharam Rutenberg was the only one who stood in his shul. He didn't encourage the Balabatim to stand. There's the Farish and the Chuvas and the Maharam Rutenberg. So apparently he thought that that in Ikar HaDin you don't need Amida out of respect for the Torah. He decided he wanted to stand. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that since in Ikar HaDin you're allowed to sit, he thought that the Heta to sit even goes on the Baruch Hu as well. And Mishnah Berurah quotes those Achronim, some Achlokes and Achronim. Mishnah Berurah quotes those Achronim who disagree.
Mishnah Berurah also says Baruch Hu is not part of Berkas HaTorah, so if you miss this, you don't have to go back and say Baruch Hu.
What if you learn Kriyas HaTorah, you didn't say Baruch Hu? If you Yotze B'di
Evid. You don't have to repeat. So maybe for him it's a whole different thing. It's not part of Kriyas HaTorah at all.
It's not really part of Kriyas HaTorah. Uh-huh. Okay. Rav Soloveitchik just said once in a Yahrzeit Rasha that he remembers as a child his uncle Rav Avla once came a little bit late to Mincha on Shabbos afternoon, and the Kohen already said Baruch Hashem Hashem Amvarach, and he was about to say Asher Bach HaBonah before the Aliyah. So he says his uncle gave a krechts, and he says he missed Kriyas HaTorah, has to go to a different shul. He thought that participating in Baruch Hashem Hashem Amvarach of the first Aliyah is ma'akev. If you didn't hear Baruch Hu, then you're not yet to the Kriyas HaTorah. He thought it's part. You have to have a davish b'kedusha baruch hu to kick off the kriyas HaTorah. So he gave a whole shiur to try to explain why that should be so. You have over here Yosef is threatening the brothers. Chei Paro keeps on swearing. He keeps on swearing by the life of Paro. Yeah, he swears by the life of Paro, but he knows he's not going to keep the shvuah. So if you swear by Chai Hashem, if you swear by the life of God, then it's mamash shvuah. You swear by the life of a human being, that's not a shvuah. The Rambam points out, why is it that over here it says Chai Paro, and by Kodesh Baruch it says Chai Hashem? How come here it's Chai, there it's Chai? So the Rambam in Yisrael HaTorah has this distinction, as in Mor Nevuchim also. But he has it in the Mishnah Torah in Yisrael HaTorah. It says Chai Paro means Chayim Shel Paro. The Paro is a being, whether he's alive or dead. If he's dead, you have a dead body there. And if a human being is alive, so that's Chayim Shel Paro. It's not identical with the person. The person is one thing, his Chachma is another thing, his life is another thing. There are different things added on to the person. The person is the body, and then he can have life, and then he can have Chachma as well. Ba'Kodesh Baruch Hu, HaKodesh Baruch Hu is Echod. There's only one thing there. It's not that there is the essence of God, then he has life, and then he has Chachma. Hu v'chachmasa echod. He and his chachma are the same thing. And hu v'chayav echod. So you can't say, Chei Hashem, the life, I swear by the life of God. There is no such thing as the life of God. Life of God is God. So that's why the Rambam says, that's why it says in Tanakh, Chai Hashem. Hashem is alive. You don't say Chei Hashem by the life of God. I think the Taisus Yantif talks about, depends whether they say with a hey or without a hey. Chai olamim, achei ha olamim. If you say with a hey, then you say chai ha olamim. I think you say chai, then you say olamim. The Taisus Yantif explains why there's a difference. God is the life of the world. If you say chai olamim, means that he lives forever. Say, he is the life of the world. He keeps the world going. Yeah, why did Yosef give the brother such a hard time? He doesn't tell him who he is until they come back another time. He almost gave him all a heart attack. What was this all about? So apparently, there's a gemara in the end of Yuma that if you Mishnah Bava Kama, that if you chayvel on somebody else, you mazik someone else, you have to pay. But einam is kapelo achi vakish memena mechila. You have to ask mechila. So the Gemara in the end of, that's a Mishnah in the end of HaChayvel. So the Gemara in the end of Yuma talks about people who hurt feelings of other people and how they ask for Mechila. So the one from whom I ask Mechila doesn't have to give me Mechila right away unless he sees that I really have Charata. So how do you know? Just because I say, oh, I feel bad, I hurt your feelings, I ask your forgiveness. Who says that I'm really telling the truth? So the Gemara says you have a right to test him out to see if he really has charata or not. So that's what Yosef wanted to test out over here, to see. They were all jealous of Yosef, and they were prepared to kill him, they were prepared to sell him as a slave, Now, after Yosef disappeared from the scene, so his father had this hang-up, Yaakov Avinu had this weakness, that he has a favorite child. The Gemara points out in the first perek in Masechet Shabbos that it was improper on the part of Yaakov Avinu to have a favorite child. But he continued to have. After Yosef disappeared from the scene, so Binyamin was the favorite child. So he wanted to see how the brothers are going to react to Binyamin. When he's going to put Binyamin in predicament, are they going to say, okay, keep him there, and we'll go back to Eretz Canaan? Are they going to go fight? And even though Binyamin is not the favorite child, did they already did tshuva? Did they do tshuva over the fact that they were jealous of the favorite son? The father did wrong by having a favorite child, but the brothers were so jealous they would let Yosef drop dead. Are they going to act the same by Binyamin? So when Yosef finally sees that they're prepared to be Moshe Nefesh to save Binyamin, he's prepared to kill Yosef, he's prepared to stay as an Eved, and he should send Binyamin home, then he saw that they really did tshuva. So this is based on that Gemara in the end of Yuma, that someone asks, Yosef doesn't have to forgive the brothers until he's convinced that they really did tshuva, that they really have charata over what they did. So he wants to test them out to see if they really had the charata. The Medrash has a comment when the brothers come back to Yaakov Avinu. So the father cries out, Osi shikaltem, Yosef einenu, shakul means that if you lost the child, kedov shakul basodeh, when they kill the cubs. So the mother cries. So, Osi shikaltem, I lost my children. Yosef enenu, Shimon enenu, Binyamin tikachu, alai hayu kulana. So there's an interesting medrash rabba on that pasuk. Yosef enenu, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is sitting in heaven and chuckling away. Yosef enenu, Yosef is the prime minister of the world. He's saving the whole world. Shimon enenu, what do you mean? The pasuk says, Vayeser oseli enehem. So Rashi quotes from the medrash, he only imprisoned him. Kozman, the brothers were still there. After the brothers left back there, it's Canaan. So he gave Shimon a credit card. He said, go shopping, do whatever you want. You don't have to sit in prison. So he let him go free. There's Binyamin Tikachu. Nothing is going to happen to Binyamin. That a lot of times, human beings, because we don't have a full grasp of the situation, we think that the world is about to collapse. If the things are so terrible, we're ready to commit suicide. And there's nothing to cry about. Yosef is having a good time and Shimon is having a good time. Nothing's going to happen to Binyamin. That's what we're supposed to have a munna, that call my David Rahman or Letab Abin. We're supposed to have a munna that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is really the Teva. We don't always have that perception, but we're supposed to at least have that munna. We're supposed to believe that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is the Teva. The Gemara, the Mishnah in Brachas has a lashon, Kishem Shemavorchem Ala Teva Kach Mavorchem Ala Ro. Just like one has to recite a bracha when something good happens, so too you cite a bracha when a terrible tragedy occurs. So the Gemara said, but it says kishem shemavrochem al atayv kachem. What do you mean? You don't say the same bracha when a good thing happens. You say atayv ameitiv. When a tragedy occurs, you say dayno emes. So why does the Mishnah use a lashon kishem? So the Gemara says no. The nusach habracha should be different. The text of the tefillah should correspond to what your perception is. If you think that it's a tragedy, then you have to say dayno emes. If you think that it's a wonderful thing, you have to say atoy v'meitiv. But you're supposed to recite Dayan HaEmes with Emunah, Chayv l'kabule b'simcha. You're supposed to recite Dayan HaEmes with Emunah that really whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is really l'toyv. It's hard to have the Emunah a lot of times. But that's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rabbeinu Yonah on the Rif, who interprets like that, Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah. What do you mean l'kabule b'simcha? When a tragedy occurs, you say Dayan HaEmes b'simcha. Yeah, you're supposed to believe that it's really l'toyv. So the text of the nusach, the text of the bracha is, the text of the tefillah always corresponds to our perception. We think that it's a tragedy, but we're supposed to have a munna that it's really l'toiva. In the Sefer Tnuas HaMusar, he writes about the whole Musa movement, and then he writes about different personalities in the Musa movement. It was a big, I was growing up and I was a little boy that was hot off the press, and my father loved it so much, so he encouraged me to read it when I was a little boy. So it was a very pleasant reading. So they have there the story about I think the Slabodka Rosh Yeshiva when he moved there, when he was in Eretz Yisrael, he had a son who was about 20 years old, very learned young man. I think he was engaged to get, I'm not sure, He was very promising in learning, and then all of a sudden he died. And it was a big big tragedy. It was a big blow to him. So the Rosh Yeshiva was a big Bal Musar from Slabodka. So when they scheduled the funeral for the next day, so he came an hour late. The father came an hour late to the funeral. So they couldn't understand. It's ridiculous. This is a man who was always makbid to be on time, not to be mezalzel on someone else's kavod. To come an hour late to his own son's funeral to make everybody wait for him was terrible. So in the middle of Shiva, they asked him, how come he came so late? So he said, because the din requires that you have to say the bracha dain ha'emes in a state of simcha. You have to have emunah that kol ma David Rachman ol tabara. Here, his young son, his 20-year-old son, just died, and he was so promising and learning and everything, and he couldn't get himself to say the bracha b'simcha. So he had a chazer, the ikar and emunah, called by David Rachman ol tabara. But it took him an hour till he convinced himself. He was still crying his head off. The perception was that it was a tragedy. But he had to be mechazing himself in amunah to say such a bracha with a little bit of simcha, to have amunah that it's really the toiva. So that's what the Medrash has such a comment, that a lot of times human beings make such a comment. Yosef, enenu v'shem, enenu v'shem yom tikocho alai hayu kolano, and everything is it was never better than it was at that time. There was absolutely no problem at all to worry about. So Reuven, the brothers are trying to convince the father that he should let Binyamin go. So Reuven tries to convince the father, and he says, no, I'm not going to let you take Binyamin. What was the convincing argument that Reuven gave? So he said, if I don't bring Binyamin back, he can kill my two sons. Stupidity. What kind of an argument? What kind of a thing is that? What do you mean, kill his two sons? Murder. I should murder my two sons. There's a Gemara in Zvachim that they all quote there. Rab Tarfin used to have an expression. When someone said something in learning, Rab Tarfin thought that it was ridiculous, so he would say, La Yerid Bini Imachim. I don't agree. La Yerid Bini, in the Pasuk, it means my son. And when Rab Tarfin said it, he probably meant my Havana, my Bina. La Yerid Bini Imachim, my Havana doesn't go along with you. Just like Yank Mabina didn't accept the argument of Reuven. If Shnei Banai Tomis, so Rab Tarfin wouldn't accept some Kruma argument, he would say this expression. But what kind of an argument was it? So the Torah Tmima has a suggestion here. And then he says, many years later, he visited Vienna, and somebody told him there was somebody there from Presburg, and they told him that they once heard that from the Chasam Sofer, that he said this pshat, that Shnei Banai Tomis means Reuven was the Bchor, so he should really be entitled to get Pishnayim. So what he meant was, Shnei Banai Tomis, take away the Pishnayim from me. If I don't bring back Binyamin, I'm about to run the Pishnayim. That's how he quotes from the Chasam Sofer. You have the same, the Binyan Tzion also has this, in the end of the Chelek Beis of the Binyan Tzion, now they print the two volumes, the old Binyan Tzion and the Binyan Tzion Achadoshes, the two Chelek Aleph and Chelek Beis of the Shas Tshuvos, they print them in one volume. So at the end of the second Chelek of the Binyan Tzion, he has the Urim and Chumash, different Pesukim and Chumash. It's not all Shas Tshuvos. Towards the end of the second Chelek, it's not Shabbos and Shulis. So he also has this interpretation. A few Achrayim have it like this. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's not the Chasam Sofer's original either. It says in the Ponim Yofis also. The Ponim Yofis was the Hafloah by the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer. And the Chasam Sofer was a young boy. He was born and brought up in Frankfurt. So the Rebbe of Frankfurt at that time happened to be the Hafloah.
Reuven had a cock and moko on his piano.
He didn't have the Gemara says the Bechor has the right to be Mevater on the Pishnayim, but he's telling the father, I'll tell you what, if I don't bring back Binyamin alive, so you punish me and take away the Pishnayim from me. He's telling the father to do that. The father's not allowed to. Right. The father's not allowed to teach this Bechor from the Pishnayim. There's a machlekes on that din, that Mishnah in Bava Basra, that the father's not allowed to, and it doesn't even help. The father cannot cheat the Bechor of the Pishnayim, even if he leaves it, Tzavo, he can. So there is a machloikas between the Nemuki Yosef. It's not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Machloikas is the Nemuki Yosef and the Rashash. What does that mean? Let's say I have 9 children. So I have 6 daughters and 3 sons. And my oldest child is a girl, so nobody gets Pishnayim. So strictly speaking, my 3 sons get the 1/3, 1/3, 1/3. So if I have, let's say, $9 billion when I die, so the 3 sons each get $3 billion. You don't divide $9 billion among 9 children. Each one of the 3 sons gets $3 billion. What if I decide one son is very successful in business, he doesn't need any money. So I'll say, I leave my Yerusha to the two out of the three sons, 50% to this son, 50% to that son. So the Gemara learns that, the Mishnah learns that from a Pasuk, Rabbi Yechim Ebreka, no? He learns that from a Pasuk, B'yom ha'achila is banav, hatar nas namashus la'av la'am chalachal misha yirtze. He can do that. I can't say it in the negative. I can't say, my son is wealthy, doesn't need any Yerusha, so we're not going to give him a penny. And then maybe the other two are going to divide 50-50. If you say it in the negative, Pliny shouldn't get, so that's not valid. If you say it in the positive, Pliny should get 50%, Pliny should get 50%, so then it does work. So the Mishnah says, except for the Pchar Pishnayim, you can't cheat the Pchar from Pishnayim. So let's say I would have three sons, and one of the sons would be the Pchar. So the Pchar is entitled to, you treat the three sons as if they were four sons, and the Pchar gets two shares, as if he were two sons. Pishnayim does mean, the Gemara says, Pishnayim does mean he always gets two-thirds. You treat him as if he's two sons. So if I have three sons, you treat the Pchar as if he's two, you have another two. So the Pchar is entitled to 50%, the other two Pshutim get 25% each. So what if I want to cheat the Pchar of the Chelek HaPshitas? I can't cheat him of the Chelek HaPchayra. Can I cheat him of the Chelek HaPshitas? So I'll say, I want each one of my three sons to get 33%. I don't want the Pchor to get the Chelek HaPshitas. I want him to get the Chelek HaPchor. The Chelek HaPchor is really 25%. The Pchor should get 25%. So that's, I'll say, the Pchor should get the Chelek HaPchor of 25%, but I want to give the other 75% divided equally among the other two brothers. Would that work? So I think if I'm not mistaken, I think the Nemuki Yesu says, you can't cheat the Pchor of either the Chelek HaPshitas or the Chelek HaPchor. I think the Rashash disagrees, says no. The Mishnah that says you can't cheat him of the Chelek HaPchor only goes on the Chelek HaPchor, the 25% of the Chelek HaPchor. The 25% that he's entitled to as a Pashut, that's the same as the other children. That I can, if I do it properly, I say in the positive, not in the negative. So then I can, just like I can cheat the Pashut from the Chelek HaPshitas, I can cheat the Pchor from the Chelek HaPshitas. So that's a question over here. What is he saying? Reuven is being Mevater on his own? Or Reuven is telling the father, you should cut me out of the Yerusha. So it is possible, according to some, he can cut him out of the Yerusha. He can cut him out from the Chelek HaPshitas. He just can't cut him out from the Chelek HaPchayra. It's an interesting parsha. The Hafloah was Achsidisha. Hafloah was the brother of the Rebbe Reb Shmelke from Nikolsburg. They were both Talmidim of the Mezritcha Magen, who was the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. They both got positions in Western Europe. Nikolsburg, Rabbi Shmelke Nikolsburg is in Austria, I think, and the Haflor got a Rabbonis in Frankfurt. It was a very strange thing. And the Haflor felt very bad all the years that he was there in Frankfurt. They were Yekis, they weren't interested in Hasidus. Felt very bad. He was never able to say anything over from the Mezritcha Magid. Couldn't say over any Hasidus at all. But in the Sefer, in the Ponim Yofes, Allah Torah, he writes a lot of things from the Mezritcha Magid, but his son was brought, he was a rabbi there in Frankfurt, but his son was brought up in Germany. So his son was a big misnagid. So after the father died, and the son had the manuscript of the father, the Panim Yofes on Chumash, so he decided he's going to leave that every time that he quotes the Mezritcha Magid. So he left out all those paragraphs. So every so often, the Hafloa quoted from the Magid Mishnah, and he refers to him as the Rav HaMagid. So the son wasn't learned enough to realize, he went through quickly. He didn't realize that's not the Mezritcha Magid, that's the Magid Mishnah. So every so often he left out a paragraph that was, the Magid Mishnah also suffered because he thought he was also a Chassidish Rebbe. I think they have it in the introduction to the new editions of the Ponim Yofes. They write the whole background, what happened to the manuscript. Anyway, so that's the Ponim Yofes has this on the Pasuk, and Chassam Sofer has it also. That's what he quotes, Tzarat Mim has it, and Binyan Tzir has. I think several other Achrenim have it also. They think that's the Pshat, the Shnei Banai Tamis, he should punish me by taking away from me the Pishnayim. Then the Pasuk says, when the brothers came to Egypt, second time around, so Yosef tells Asher al-Beiso, the one who's in charge of his house, that he should give fleishiks for lunch, tvech tevach v'hochein, ki tiochlo hanoshem batzoharayim. Yeah, that's a lot of people have fleishiks for lunch. in Eretz Yisrael, in Europe, a lot of times that flesh eats for lunch. The behetiv in Hilchas eating supper, in the end of after Mincha Ma'ariv, talks about eating supper. So he says that we should really be a little embarrassed that we're eating fleshiks. Are we really more worthy than the animals? We're higher in the animal kingdom. The animals are supposed to be serving us. We're supposed to be higher, but the animals don't sin. We a lot of times sin, so sometimes you don't really deserve to eat flesh. So I think he says that's why it says that they were supposed to eat the slav at night. They didn't eat the slav in the daytime. It says in Chumash like that. Because they had to hide a little bit, the fact that they're eating birds. But here it says beferish that they're eating the fleshiks for lunch. So Yosef says, they should shech the behemoths, and they should prepare the fleshiks for lunch. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation over here. Tvach tevach v'achem pralahem beis hashchita. You should show my brothers when you shech the behemoth, show them that you're shechting it properly. So the Gemara understands from this that they shechted it according to the rules and regulations of Hilchas Shechita. There was a Shechita Haruya. A Shechita Haruya that you're allowed to eat. The Gemara has a Machlekes Hatanoim, Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. It's in Bava Kamma regarding Dalet Behei. Aganef who's Tavach Mocher is Chayiv Dalet Behei. And there's a din of Kisi Adam. When you shecht Chayiv Yoif, V'shafach Hazdama V'chiso Ba'ofa, you have to do Kisi Adam. And there's a din of Osu Ezbeno. You're not allowed to shecht Osu Ezbeno B'yamechot. So then Tanoim have a Machlekes, a couple of additional cases also. Have a Machlekes, what if Shochat V'nim Tzestrefa? You shecht and it turns out the animal is a trefa. So the shechita sa trefa is mitar medein avela. It's not considered like meis meila, but it's not mata b'achila. So is that called dina kishchita? Is it not kishchita? So that's a machlekes hatanaim. Shechita sheni ruy, shmo shechita lav shmo shechita. The Mishnah has, the Rabbi Yudah Nasi, the editor in the Mishnah, has made a compromise. That bekisei adam, he holds that shechita sheni ruy, lav shmo shechita. Because it says over there, it says Asher Yeochel. So David says Asher Yeochel. So Rabbi Yudah Nasi all has to be Shechita Haruya. But when you get to Osev Ezbeno, or when you get to Ganef to be Chayv Dalet Vehei, there we pass Kashchita Shenivu Ishmo Shechita. You don't need Asher Yeochel. That's a compromise. Rabbi Shita is a compromise. That's how we passkan, like the compromise of Rabbi. But in the Mishnayis it's a Machlekes Hatanaim. So the Gemara says one time learns that. You learn at tvach tevach v'hochin. You learn gzeres shavah. That here it means it has the connotation. Pralahem beis hashchita. Shech the animal properly and show my brothers that it's kosher. Kosher gishachten. And then you have another pasuk of shchut echutz. Asher yishchat mechutz lamachane. Shchut echutz. You're not allowed to eat the carbon if you shecht it b'chutz. You chayv karis for doing shchut echutz and it's also b'achilu because the carbon is only muta b'achilu if you shecht it in the azar. So but there it says, Ashishchad Mechutz Lamachana, there it's clearly Shechita Sheina Ruya. And here it's clearly a Shechita Ruya. So that's the Machlokes Hatanaim. How should you learn the Gzera Shavah? Should you learn Tvicha Tvicha from Tvach Tevach V'achin? Or should you learn Shechita Shechita from Shchut Echutz? And we pass kind of compromise, like the Mishnah has. The pasuk says that Yosef had them plant the gvi hakesef, the silver becher, in the sack of Binyamin. He wants to see if they're going to stick up for Binyamin, or if they're going to act the same way to Binyamin the way they acted towards him. So when they chase after, when they're on their way back, and the police are chasing after them, so they said, "What do you mean?" They said, "A kavuchaim amada hakesef amusha b'fiam tochaseinu." We gave you back the money that we found in our sacks in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Canaan. So the Kal V'Chomer, we're not going to steal money from you. So it says they started to check. The policeman checked. So they say the name of Reb Shua Leib Diskin that they didn't check all the brothers, they only checked two. They only checked Reuven was the Gadol and Binyamin was the Katan. They only checked those two. Why they only checked those two? Because the other side the Kal V'Chomer. The other said we have a Kal V'Chomer. Ma'adach the money. Hakes v'admusha b'fiyamto chaseinu and shivani elecho. So we're not going to steal new stuff. But the Kal V'Chomer didn't apply to Reuven because he was in Mitzrayim the whole time. He hadn't gotten back and Binyamin wasn't there the first time. So the only two that they checked were Reuven and the binyan. That's how they quote in the name of Rabbi Sholeib Diskin. So some say that it's a medrash like that. I think they say they never found such a medrash. The Rabbi Sholeib Diskin suggestion that they only check these two. Well, it isn't a medrash on the closing pasuk in the parsha.
Reuven did go
back. Oh, Shimon. Shimon, excuse me. Shimon is the one, right? So Bagodol Hechel was. Bagodol doesn't mean Bagodol. He claims Bagodol doesn't mean Reuven, he means Shimon. Yeah. There are midrashim on the closing pasuk in the Sedra when Yosef says, "No, I wouldn't do that. I'm not going to take all of you as slaves." The one who stole Binyamin is going to remain as an Eved, and you can all go back home to your father and Eretz Kanaan. That's the simple pshat. So there are midrashim which interpret, add on an additional level of interpretation, that the pasuk is merames to the incident of the Asara Haruge Malchus. Atem and you, the other ten, Alul Shalom Alavich, and you're going to go back to your father in heaven above. The simple pshat in the post is going to go back to your father Yankov Avinu and Eretz Kinnan. So the Midrashim say that this was somehow a remiss to the fact that the Asara Haruge Malchus are going to be put to death as representing the Shvatim. That's how that famous Medrash says that we say in the davening on Yom Kippur, that he says he wants to punish the Shvatim for selling Yosef, and if they would be here, he would punish them, and they're not here, so he's punishing the Asara Haruga Malchus instead. So the Midrashim say like that, Alulu Shalom Alavichem, they're gonna give their lives up as Asara Haruga Malchus. Okay, tomorrow B'li Neder will give a regular shiur, regular time. We'll continue in the Yoridei. I'd like to invite everyone. I'd like to have a Masiba if people will be free on Wednesday night after Ma'ariv. When is Ma'ariv here? 6:15? Oh, no. That's all right. I'm going to have 15 after the service. So, a little after 7.